When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Christmas Eve Royal Blue Podcast, and how I wish we were celebrating the joys of Christmas and talking about candy canes and the North Pole and another Everton victory. Unfortunately, that is not the case for the Blues. We don't do things the easy way, do we? I'm Sam Carroll, and today I'm joined by Dave Prentice, Conor O'Neill and Gavin Buckland to talk about, well, last night, that defeat to Manchester United, and hopefully look ahead with a little bit more positivity to the trip to Bramall Lane on Boxing Day. Preno, we've just been talking a little bit about it off camera, but you know, me and Phil Kirkbride, we're at the game last night, and for me, one of the worst games of football in general, I think, from both sides that I've watched in a long time. But Everton just weren't at the races from minute one. Where did they were lucky in some ways not to be 3 or 4 nil down after 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll have to probably tone down the language from that which we were using prior to going on there. because it was absolutely abysmal. The first half an hour is about as bad as I've seen in living memory. It was just absolutely awful. We just never got near them. I mean, let's try and temper this with how good Manchester United are. They've won every single away match this season. They're like a different beast away from home compared to, you know, their home performances. And the home performances aren't bad at the moment. And you look at the qualities of the respective squad strengths. We were missing a number of, you know, significant players. United made quite a few changes. But when you've got a backup squad that can put Edison Cavani, you know, so up top, you've still got Bruno Fernandes behind you. You know, the back four looked, you know, a little bit lightweight and, you know, a possibility that we might be able to get at them. But we just couldn't get near them in midfield. United just absolutely dominated the midfield area. They were sharper. They were faster. They had better quality. I mean, Paul Pogba coming in as a, you know, a second choice midfielder, if you like. Yeah. No, we were just nowhere near them in terms of quality or in terms of tempo. And it was a deeply dispiriting experience. I'm surprised it got as late as it did before United finally scored. And it's not surprising that it was Edison Cavani that broke the deadlock with a wonderful goal. It just underlines once again that, you know, Carlo Ancelotti does have an awful lot of work to do to turn around this you know, oil tanker of a football club. He's made a great start and, you know, going in the right direction, but it is only a start. And unfortunately, we've still got a lot of work to do.
Gav, Carlo said after the game that there was no regrets and that in some ways he felt the performance was okay. You can't take the manager at face value there, surely. Do you think that Everton had enough of a go at Manchester United last night?
I don't think the team's set up to have a go with other teams, isn't it? Especially clubs with bigger squads. I think he's set a store out, hasn't he, the last 3 or 4 matches to play. It was a tight 4-2-3-1. Sit deep against attack better forwards and take it from there. And so I don't think he was ever going to go on the front foot, to be honest with you, with that setup. So I know what he's saying there, to be honest with you. Whether you agree with it or not is a different kettle of fish. But he set the team up as a counter-punching team, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Not to concede. And that's what he did last night. I know what Preno was saying after the first 20-25 minutes, you're thinking could be 3 or 4 here, but after that, you can't really call many United chances between the first 20-25 minutes and Cavani's goal. To be honest with you, I mean, in the second half, they were at occasions as inept as us in terms of passing the ball and their cohesiveness. And so, yeah, I get what Carlo's saying there, whether that's right or not is a different question. But I got the impression last 20 minutes we weren't too bothered if we went to penalties, to be honest with you.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I think he wanted penalties.
In your view then, Gav, do you think it showed the kind of fine margins of, you know, the game wasn't actually then too dissimilar, was it, to the wins over Chelsea and Arsenal, in that, you know, we weren't exactly set up to play free flow and attack and football, but we took the chances and obviously we held on a little bit better defensively for 90 minutes across those games. Do you think there could be a shift in that strategy moving forward into the new year, or do you think?
Well, you would hope so. You would hope so. I mean, what did we say? Shots on target we have against Arsenal? Was it two?
Yeah.
Three? Was it three or four against Chelsea? So, one game's there. Leicester, probably something similar. So, it wasn't, you know, we win those games. Oh, Carlo's a magician, getting the best out of the team. You lose one of those games and perform maybe slightly less, but, you know, a bit less intensity. And all of a sudden, there's an issue. Yeah, I think he's got to, really. The problem we've got at the moment, Sam, is whether we've got the players to do that. I mean, we all know we're carrying a few injuries. I mean, I thought players looked leggy last night, didn't they? I think DCL looked leggy, maybe yard off the pace. A couple of others like that, which is understandable given the frequency of games. And let's face it, we're not the only club suffering from that at the moment. Just at this time of year, the deeper squads are coming to fruition, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They always do. They always do at this time of year, but this year more than any other for obvious reason.
Is that what you could see, Connor? A team that had finally kind of hit the bottom of that fuel tank? Or are you more critical of the performance and think, you know, a cup quarter final at Goodison, we were lucky enough to have supporters in there in these testing times. Do you think it was a missed opportunity and would you have liked to have seen more?
I think it's a bit of both. I think in terms of the leggy, you know, what Gav said there about Calvert-Lewin looking a bit leggy, I think that's perfectly understandable because he's played a lot of football so far this season. I think, you know, he's pretty much featured in every game we've played, certainly in the Premier League. So you can understand why he perhaps looks a little bit leggy and a little bit fatigued, because it has been, you know, tougher in the games and it's going to get tougher. But I think, you know, likes of Andre Gomes and people like that, you know, they've not played as much in recent weeks as some of the others. So really, it was the perfect chance for likes of him to stake a claim and prove why he should be, you know, back being the number one midfielder on the team like he was, you know, 18 months ago. But I think overall it was a massive missed opportunity, because, you know, you're at home, cup quarter final, a chance to put one of the big teams out if you do overcome Man United. We didn't take it. We didn't look like we were going to take it. As, you know, the lads have said, the first 20 minutes, half an hour was shambolic. And I just think, you know, again, it's another near miss for Everton. And I think until we can kind of get over that hurdle, we just seem to always hit that brick wall and fall flat on our faces. We need to find a way of getting over that, because it's a recurring theme of, you know, getting close but not close enough to really do anything. But I think in terms of the fitness issue, it's going to be interesting, because the games now come thick and faster, you know, moving forward. And, you know, we go to Boxing Day now in Sheffield United in, what, 2 days, then Man City 2 days after that, Aston Villa 4 or 5 days after that. So it's going to be interesting what he does with the squad, because some of them players last night saying he didn't play to prove a point that he should be in it, but they might have no option but to be in it because of the games and the fatigue that some of the lads who played on a regular basis will have picked up.
Prent, talk me through your opinion of some of the officiating last night. Cavani with VAR, surely?
No, we can't use that as an excuse. I mean, I watched the game the previous night, the Arsenal City game, and, you know, they were probably harder done to than us. I mean, there was a very similar incident with, you know, somebody putting their hand near somebody's face, and, you know, for Manchester City, it could have lost a player. And in one of City's goals was clearly offside, and neither were given because for some strange reason, VAR doesn't exist in the Carabao Cup. But the incident that everyone's talking about, obviously, where Cavani, you know, sort of grabbed Yerry Mina, round the face. To me, Mina just made such a fuss of it. It wasn't a great deal. Yeah, all right, he put his hand towards his face and you're not allowed to do that. And if VAR had have seen it, yeah, he probably would have been sent off. But I just thought that Mina was looking to make a meal of it and looking to try and get Cavani sent off. And yeah, you know, by the absolute letter of the law, you know, so maybe he should have gone. But I can't really endorse that kind of thing because, you know, you hate to see it anyway. You hate to see players, you know, sort of feigning injury and trying to get players sent off. And that's what he was trying to do. And we were just miles away from them. And, you know, even with 10 men, they probably would have out-footballed us and out-passed us. I think the biggest thing was the start. The opening 5 or 10 minutes, we just seemed to have no temper. We couldn't get near them at all. They were just sharper and brighter and spikier than us at everything. And that was the big issue. And that comes down to, like we were saying, you know, so the lack of respective squad strengths or the difference in respective squad strengths. And it's why Sheffield United is such a huge game for us on Boxing Day now, because they've only got a small squad. They wouldn't be able to rotate that much. That's a game we really need to win, because Manchester City, with their resources, you know, they're going to be able to rotate quite significantly. That's going to be a really, really tough afternoon, that one, for us. So it's vital that we bounce back with a win on Boxing Day. But no, to answer your question, yeah, it wasn't a great night for the officials, but we can't really blame that, to be honest. I just think we're clutching at straws if we do that.
Do you agree with that, Gav, or do you hold a stronger assessment on that? Do you think there was more to it from Cavani?
Well, I thought that the referee saw it, didn't he? If you watch the replay, the referee's looking at him. I mean, he blows up straight away, doesn't he? I mean, he sees him push him over, doesn't he? Grab hold of him, and then he doesn't do anything, which I thought was strange. It wasn't as if Cavani did it behind the referee's back. The referee's looking at it, takes 3 or 4 looks at him. And as soon as Mina goes over, the referee blows up, doesn't he? So I just thought it was a bit strange. But I'm with Preno. I don't think it made a lot of difference either way. I see things like mentality and stuff like that and mentions about last night, and I just don't agree with that at all. I don't think it's a question of mentality. It's my old days. They've got better players than us. Simple as. Got a better squad than us. That'll make the difference at the end. 9 times out of 10, that'll make a difference at the end of the day. We saw about mentality, and I don't get that whatsoever. I thought Carlo made a mistake last night in the selection. Gomez shouldn't have played with Decore. I think that was the wrong two. I think Gomez should have, Decore should have played with Davis or Holgate.
What have you made of Gomez's form overall, really, Gav, since he came back from that injury, which was, you know, obviously horrific? He just hasn't really seemed to get going. And I think I wrote last night that even before the injury, he wasn't quite the player that we'd first kind of saw when he arrived from Barcelona. Is he becoming a concern now? Because he just doesn't seem to be able to get himself going.
But we're not playing the right formation, are we? You can't play Gomez 4-2-3-1, play him as a two in the two in front. That's not his game. Because we have defensive responsibilities there, and the one thing we know about him, you know, lovely footballer that he is, he can't defend. I mean, he's a liability in his own box for the start. I mean, he's conceded, what, 2 penalties and should have conceded one at Leicester since, I don't know, the last 20 games, something like that. Got turned at Leicester in the box once or twice. He's just a liability. My view on Gomez is he's just not... He's a classic. To me, he's a classic Southern European midfielder, deep line midfielder. We're on the continent, you can get away, you can pick the ball off the defence and ping it around the pitch, not really get pressurised the way you do in England. And the game's not suited to him. He reminds me in some respects, and going back 20 years, and is a far superior player, but a similar style, who got found out in a similar way. It was Juan Sebastian Verón at Man United. Who was who could pick the ball off the back four, ping it around the pitch, but in the end, he wasn't suited to the intensity of the English game. And it's the same with Gomez. You know, I was watching him last night when United had the ball. I'm not sure he had a clue where he was supposed to stand. I appreciate his gifts as a footballer, but he's just not suited to the English game, I'm afraid. And the injury shouldn't take affect him, but maybe it has. But there was issues for me before he was injured, to be fair. He just isn't a Premier League footballer in style, and I think that's quite apparent, isn't it? You can probably get away with playing with 4-3-3 like we did at the start of the season. But 4-2-3-1, no, I don't think he's not suited to it, I'm afraid.
Where do you stand on Gomez, Connor?
I think so far this season it's been a bit of a struggle for him. I think he looks well off the pace. I think you look last night, he's up against, you know, Bruno Fernandes, who, you know, basically destroyed him. He couldn't get near him, could he? He couldn't do nothing to stop him. I think he certainly lost that yard of pace since his injury. I mean, he wasn't blessed with much pace before his injury, but he certainly lost a yard since he's come back. And I just think for the way Carlo seemingly wants to play moving forward, he's just not going to fit in that style of playing in the team. And I think he's going to find game time hard to come by sooner rather than later. I think Everton probably will be looking at the centre midfielder, you'd imagine, if in January, if not in the summer, to further strengthen that, because it is an area that needs strengthening. But I think in the immediate, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him not feature on Boxing Day against Sheffield United, because again, one thing about Sheffield United is they all put a shift in and they all work hard. And I just think anyone who comes up against in terms of a runner, which is most teams now, he just seems to get run into the ground and he's well off the pace. And I think last night showed that, because last night was a massive opportunity for him. He's not featured much. You know, with Alan's injury, he pretty much had the chance to go in there and stake a claim and prove that he is, you know, deserves a chance. But, you know, he far from took that. And if anything, it was a miracle that he lasted as long as he did, because I think after half an hour, you could have took him off, to be honest, because he was that poor.
He was awful. I mean, I think we're being a bit hard on him here. If we try and think about the quality of player that we had pre the injury, and you know, if you're going to get that quality of player back, and let's face it, he was, you know, a shining light, you know, when he first signed, we were absolutely buzzing about the player, but he was playing in a slightly different role. You know, he's playing, you know, further up the pitch, or he was indulged, and you've got to indulge him if you're going to get the best out of him, and we can't afford to do that at the moment. And you know, is he worth indulging? Because what we've seen, you know, sort of post injury, it's just been a pale reflection on the player that we saw prior to that. So it's a difficult one. I don't want to be as completely dismissive, you know, sort of the player as we have been, because you know there clearly is a talent there, but we haven't seen it, you know, sort of since he's come back into the fray now. And it's a concern. And yeah, I agree with what the lads were saying about the selection last night. I mean, Tom Davis would have been a better option, even though he didn't play particularly well. You know, he'd have, you know, been sharper and spikier and would have possibly closed down United better than Andre did, because that's not his game. You know, so his game, as Gav says, is finding pockets of space and trying to use it and trying, you know, sort of spread the ball. But we just haven't seen that. It's worrying. I have to say it is worrying, you know, so what we do with him.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Marcel Brands and the head of recruitment, Greta Steinton, were there watching last night, and it must have struck them, surely, that whereas Ole Gunnar Solskjaer called for Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford off the bench, we were calling for Bernard and Tom Davis and then Cenk Tosun when we were chasing the game. It does show the task at hand for Carlo Ancelotti, doesn't it? And do you think, I don't know, would you be tempted to go into the transfer market in January and try and get another little injection of that kind of instant quality in the Alan Hamed mould? You know, we've been linked with your Iscos and your Sami Khediras, or, you know, do you think it's time to keep going with what we have and maybe hope that, you know, players coming back from injury and Jean-Philippe Djibamon can kind of fill those gaps in the next couple of months?
As supporters, I think we'd all love to see a little bit of a splash in January, because nothing excites fans, you know, more than seeing a new player come in. And it does tend to have an impact, regardless of the quality of the individual himself. It's, you know, what it does to the players around him. You know, the other players start looking over the shoulder a little bit more and start, I don't know, maybe you know, subconsciously producing that extra 1%, 2%. But Carlo's proved in the past that he's willing to be patient and he's willing to wait until he gets the actual players that he wants. He's only effectively had one transfer window so far in which he's, you know, spent decent money and has spent it very, very successfully. So we've got absolute faith that, you know, when he does decide to spend money, he will bring in, you know, sort of better quality players that will improve us. Whether he's prepared to do it in January or not, I'm not so sure, because he's proved that he's a manager who's willing to not get massively up when things are going well and not get massively down when things are going badly. he's just willing to look at the bigger picture and you know, spend accordingly. So, yeah, I'd love to see him bring somebody in. and certainly up top, because, like, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, as we say, is toiling. He's feeding off scraps at the moment. He's not had, you know, so a pass or a cross, you know, sort of worthy of the name. I mean, I was pulling my bloody hair out last night when Iwobi got free down the left. And, you know, so Calvert-Lewin makes this great run into the box down the street end. And it's just crying out for the quality of delivery that we saw in the Goodison Derby match. And what does he do? He absolutely leathers it into the bloody Bulland Road. And it's like, oh, you know, so please, you know, so give the guy, you know, so better quality service. And he's not getting anything at the moment. He's like feeding off absolute scraps. And, you know, as we said earlier, he is looking, I wouldn't say jaded, because, you know, he's such a willing lad that, you know, he gives loads every single game, but you'll need a break sooner rather than later. But even more so, you'll need better quality service. And for that, you need better quality players around him. And are we going to see them in January? I'm not so sure.
Surely, though, Preno Cenk Tosun's a like-for-like replacement for DCL, isn't he?
No, let's not get too down on Cenk Tosun. I mean, I don't mind him. You know, that sounds like I'm damning him with faint praise. He's a good finisher. He's good at what he does. But again, like Calvert-Lewin, he relies and thrives even more so on a quality service from the flanks. Calvert-Lewin's capable of making things happen on his own bat, as he proved when he, you know, so he won the penalty, you know, so against Chelsea, totally off his own bat, you know, so with everything that he did himself. Tosun's not really capable of doing that, but he is capable of finding space in the box and finishing opportunities if he's given the service to do that. He's very, very much, you know, a Dominic Calvert-Lewin light. You know, so he's not got anything like the qualities that Dominic, certainly hasn't got the pace that Dominic's got, or that, you know, that spring, but he can finish. But, you know, it's a poor replacement, to be honest, which is why that, you know, when we are looking at you know, rebuilding the squad, you know, so certainly up top, you know, a different type of striker is somebody that I think we'd be looking for. But in the meantime, you know, so Tosun is all that we have there, so, you know, he will have to be used at some stage over this this holiday period.
Could the, moving on then, Gav, we look ahead to Sheffield United, and Carlo has to make changes eventually. You know, the back four have played a lot of football. Sigurdsson and Decore have played a lot of football. Richarlison, and he took a nasty blow last night.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Is it almost guaranteed that there will be changes against Sheffield United, in your opinion?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Richarlison is available.
Yeah.
He got a right clatter last night. And
he's got a concussion.
Yeah, obviously it's an area of focus at the moment. Obviously, when we talk about January, we've got to appreciate our financial constraints at the moment. But we'll be looking to ship players out, perhaps not even to bring players in, to be honest with you. So I think, I'm just thinking what options we've got available to us. I mean, defensively, we've been okay, haven't we? Even last night, I thought we were okay after the first 25 minutes. Trying to think. Dare I say Anthony Gord? Perhaps. But there's not a lot there, as we've seen on the bench last night, really. We haven't really got a lot of options available to us. I think I'd definitely bring Tom back for Gomez. But apart from that, there's not really a lot I can see that we've got available to us, to be honest with you, Sam. Defensively, we were okay. Put some of the positives last night, though. Ben Godfrey was good again. Yeah. Thought he had a go. I thought Gilfie did okay, to be honest with you. Yeah, the disappointing thing was that our set pieces last night were dreadful. Didn't come across, but I believe it was quite windy inside the ground, perhaps. Set pieces were dreadful. So I can see maybe 4-2-3-1 again, with maybe Davis instead of Gomez, and I'm not sure what Richarlison is availability, which leaves a gap there. I mean, if you're Holgate, you'd be a bit disappointed as well, wouldn't you, really, at the moment? Not getting a shirt last night. Perhaps, but there's not a lot there, is there, Sam, at the moment, to be fair, when you look at our bench last night and what options are available to us. There's not a lot.
do you think there's scope for a change of personnel or a change of shape, Connor? Or do you think, again, it's, as Gav's saying, it might just be minor changes and going with what we've got at the moment?
No, I think I agree with Gav. I think it'll be one or two, maybe small tweaks here and there in terms of personnel, but nothing will change too drastically. I think, you know, ultimately, we haven't got the options to make a wholesale change, have we? You know, it's as simple as that. You know, like Pernell said earlier, you know, you'd look to maybe get Calvert-Lewin arrest, but it's a massive gamble because Tosin, you know, Tosin's not looked a real goal threat in the games he's played, as he's not really played much football. So that's a risk. I think it'll be maybe Tom Davis for Andre Gomez, and maybe Mason Holgate might come back in for Seamus Coleman if they choose to take him out to fire, take him out, given he's only just come back from injury and games ahead to come. But yeah, I think it'll be one or two minor personnel changes. The goalkeeper as well, probably Jordan Pickford will no doubt start Boxing Day against Sheffield United over Robin Olsen. But it'll be one or two minor tweaks, and I think it'll be the same way we played the last few weeks. I just hope that no matter what Carlo thinks, he doesn't go back to three at the back. I think that's a wise move. I think he stays with the four and we just carry on in that route, and he doesn't go OTT like he's done in the past so far this season.
It's funny actually you mentioned the goalkeeper there, because you know, that just underlined what a bad night it was. That, you know, this absolutely calm, unflappable, you know, sort of figure of composure, even he looked rattled from the off last night. I mean, there was that dreadful attempt to control the ball, which he ended up nearly presenting it straight to Cavani. And some of his kicking was awful. And it underlines just what we get with Jordan Pickford. And I know there are issues with his game at the moment, but, you know, his shot stopping is always very, very good. And his distribution is excellent, you know, so with the ball. It's the other part of his game that we need to iron out, you know, the composure that, you know, so Robin Olsen normally has, but obviously doesn't have an exclusive preserve on it, because even he looked battled for some reason last night, which underlined, you know, why it was just a strange performance from start to finish. Pretty much everybody, Ben Godfrey, I'd agree with you guys, was the only one that really played anything like approaching his recent form. Gilfy, maybe. Yeah. I mean, the set pieces, that free kick was very good, to be honest, and was unfortunate that, you know, Dean Henderson was, you know, able to get on the end of it. But yeah, there were slim pickings, unfortunately.
No love for Yerry Mina. He got man of the match in those sexy player ratings.
I thought Mina was good. I thought Mina was one of our best. I thought Mina, Godfrey,
Thank
Sigurdsson. I thought Mina, Godfrey, Sigurdsson, and maybe Wobie were all right last night.
No, I'm not having a Wobie, sorry.
I thought, well, he had to go with Wobie.
His final ball was awful again.
Yeah. I thought, yeah. You can't fault him for effort, though.
No. That should be a prerequisite, though, shouldn't it?
Yeah. But for someone, I get that. But yeah. I thought it was okay. But I thought, yeah, notwithstanding a couple of iffy crosses.
Sorry, I'm in a grumpy mood.
Yeah, I know we are. No change there, Fran. Even though it's the 24th of December, you know. But I thought Mina was okay. He's actually on a good run of form, Mina, at the moment, isn't he?
Yes,
to be fair. Yeah, the only problem with Mina is that he's always game away from an injury, isn't he? Or picking up a knocking, something like that. But he was okay last night. But there's not a lot there, is there? Bernard, when he came on, lightweight. Again. You know, yeah, we've got City then, haven't we, on is it Monday? Is it the City game? Saturdays. Mm-hmm. So it's not just managing it for... Going back to your first question, it's not just managing it for Boxing Day, it's managing it for the next sort of 10 days or fortnight, is it? You know, there's not a lot there, which is slightly worrying at the moment.
Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I don't want to keep the lads too long, so we will finish with our usual predictions for Sheffield United. Preno, I'll start with you. Where are you going with it?
Oh, it could be absolutely anything, couldn't it? When you see jaded squads and you know, players who are looking a bit leggy, the potential to concede goals increases even more. But I'm going to go back. I'm going to a repeat of last season. I'm going to go for a really, you know, sort of dull, tight game. Carlo's going to tighten things up again the way he did, you know, the matches prior to last night. Sheffield United don't have anything like the quality that Manchester United have, and they've struggled desperately to score goals all season. I'm going to go for a 1-0 away win and pour all a smile on our faces and a spring in our step for 2 days until City come.
Gab?
I think This to me has got my default 1-1 written all over it.
I thought about that, but I thought I wanted to be positive.
I was just waiting, just praying that Sheffield United won on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know?
Where's your
optimism?
Where's your optimism?
The optimism is 1-1. That's optimistic for me, Sam. You know? Yeah, no, I it's got 1-1. Put it this way, I don't think it'd be a goal fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've lost. Is it all but one of their defeats have been by one goal this season, Sheffield United, isn't it? Something like that. Yeah. So I don't think you see a goal fest on Sunday.
Connor?
2-1, Everton, I think. Given Preno's thing there and Sheffield United struggling for score goals, it's an app that they will score.
That's the Everton mindset, right?
It's an app that they will score, but now I'm back and back us to get a league, give us all a league Christmas present with a 2-1 win.
I'll follow on from Connor and I'll go for 3-1. A little bit more attack and threat. See what we can
do. That's
Christmas spirit already. He's on the end already. And back Preno's praise of him and get a little late third, I think. So be a nice little Christmas, late Christmas present for us all, wouldn't it? Right, lads, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for listening, as always. And if you are listening to this on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or Boxing Day, then I hope you've had a very good Christmas. And have a very good Christmas from all of us here at Liverpool Echo. And hopefully next time we join you, we will be discussing a good win at Sheffield United to keep Everton in those Champions League places in the Premier League. Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. Speak to you soon.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.